Hey guys, welcome to episode 157 of Inside the Cage. I'm Scott, and with me, as always, is Big Mark. How are you, mate?
I'm absolutely fantastic, man. How are you?
Good. Hi, mate. Other than it being a bit cold, I'm good.
Cold? That's not really the word, is it?
I will. It was minus 12.
Baltic.
It was minus 12 where I was this morning on site, so it was pretty... It was a bit chilly, shall we say.
I try to avoid going outside at all costs, if I can help it.
Yeah, I would do the same. I mean, I've not moved since I got home. Put on the comfies and just basically get told to leave to basically get off site this morning because it was just there was no work going to get done, so just too cold. But other than the cold, yes, mate, things are good, life's good. Looking forward to Christmas. You know, it's great. Used to always hate this time of year because obviously the work I used to do. So like talking to me before Christmas Eve about Christmas, I would punch you in the face. But now I'll enjoy the build-up, so I'm looking forward to it, man. Should be good. Plus, World Cup semi-final tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to miss tomorrow. Imagine. One game I want to watch as well. She's got tickets for Paolo Nutini, so we're going to Hydro to see him.
Oh, that sounds absolutely shite.
Yeah, I'm a bit disappointed. I don't mind a few changes, do you know what I mean? But I don't know if I'd want to sit there.
Oh, we should double team this. Maybe we should chat after. I have an idea.
What about the missus? How's your missus want to go?
Well, my missus is obsessed with Paolo Nutini, mate.
Well, I think my wife would be very happy if I pulled out last minute like that. I think that's the only thing. Maybe if it was suggested earlier on, maybe I'd do a positive ballet.
You never know.
Indeed. But anyway, I stopped on Friday anyway for Christmas. I don't give a fuck.
What's that?
I start on Friday for Christmas, so I don't care. I'm happy. I just want to get done.
Well, look at you. I've got another week to go, but I don't imagine much will be happening the next week or so. Things always seem to kind of quieten down in the run-up, so should be fine. And then 2 weeks off, basically, which is pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good wee break until over Christmas, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be good. Anyway, let's get stuck into this, but we really need to get stuck into it because there is a shitload to talk about and none of it is good. I don't think there's, of the five talking points we've got tonight, right, only two of them I would say are really positive unless you look at it from,
there's two positives we're going to talk about.
Yeah, but the rest is all negative.
Yeah, of course it is, but there's negatives for good reasons in our opinion, so we'll see how we go. We might be talking shite and a lot of people out there disagree with us, but we can only give our opinions and go from there.
Well, there's a lot of people that disagree with us. I've been getting some heat on Instagram, so
well, we see that's we can just keep firing it away then and we'll see what happens, see what else comes out of it.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll start with the main event from Saturday night, UFC 282 from the T-Mobile. Good to see it. I know it's happened before, but it's just always good to have fans and it's good to have the Las Vegas crowd. I'm not convinced the Las Vegas crowd is one of the better ones, but it's always interesting with the Las Vegas crowd.
Yeah, it can be very touristy, I think.
Yeah, I think it's like almost like a lot of it, like half of it's going to be, you know, fight fans from around the world. It's never really going to be locals, whereas if you take it to Florida or Chicago, you're going to have 80%, 85% Chicagites or Chicagians or whatever you want to call them.
I think no matter where you go apart from Vegas, you're going to get it mainly going to be full of locals.
I guess the only other place, maybe New York, maybe Madison, MSG, maybe the only other place. But yeah, it's still good to have the Vegas crowd's an interesting crowd, so it's just good to have it back. But let's talk about the main event. The whole thing. I mean, we haven't actually done a show since Yuri, so this whole thing was a shambles, right? Now, I do understand after Glover came out and explained why he didn't want to fight, and I get it from his point of view, but you just kind of think, why did they not make it for an interim instead? I know technically the belt's vacant, right? But surely Glover should have been in that fight no matter what. They could have just cancelled this. And I don't know. I feel like they had no choice. Their hand was forced to this. Like, they had no choice. They had to make this the light heavyweight title fight. There was nothing else on this card worthy of headlining that. For me, not for a pay-per-view.
No, I think 100% that's the thing. They needed they did a title fight on their pay-per-view card. Obviously, the light heavyweight one was probably the only one that's able to get fought for at this moment in time for various reasons. And with Yuri pulling out, which was such so gutting because that would have been an incredible fight to see again.
Yeah.
Him obviously doing the honourable thing, which was brilliant of him, and giving up the title, leaving it vacant. Obviously, Glover was offered, look, you can still fight on the night, blah, blah, blah. It'll be against, I can't remember, but I don't know if it was Jan and Ankalaev. I can't remember what the option was, but if you want that fight, you can have it. He didn't want it, so they eventually made Jan Ankalaev. And I suppose if Glover doesn't want to fight on that night for various whatever reason it was, I can't even remember myself what it was now, then that's what happens, and we've got to make a title fight because their hands are a bit forced, as you said. They've got to have something on that card to justify it being a pay-per-view. There was no... If you can't put a massive star on it, then you've got to make sure there's a title fight on it.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, like, I agree. Glover's, you say you can't remember Glover's reasons. Glover's reasons basically was he wasn't preparing for either Jan or Ankalaev.
Well, I thought that in my head, but I couldn't remember exactly. I thought that
he said basically he wasn't prepared for them because he'd been preparing for Jiří, who, no, fair point by Glover, neither of those guys are anything like Jiří. Those two guys, I would say Teixeira, Blahović and Ankalaev are probably more similar. Not like I'm not saying they're the same, I'm saying they're more similar than Jiří. Jiri's totally different from anything in that division, I think, personally. Yeah. But if you're trying to, you know, get yourself geared up for Jiří Prochazka and you end up having to fight one of the two monsters, you're going to be a bit like, no, hold on, you can't give me 2 weeks' notice, that's shite. So understand, it just feels like it was all very forced. Let's talk about the fight, right? So the fight for me, like people say, they've talked about the decision and the result being wrong, right? Now, I was just looking at those three scorecards, right? 48-47, 46-48, and 47-47. See, if I watched that fight three times, I reckon I could score it each of those scores once.
Well, I texted you last night and I said, for me, Ankalaev won, but I wouldn't argue with a draw. I couldn't see Jan Blachowicz winning the fight.
Well, see, it depends. The first round was really, really close, right? For me, 2 and 3 were Jan, 4 and 5 were definitely Ankalaev. 1 was the one that was subjective for me. It could have went either way. And the fifth round could have been a 10-8 and it couldn't have been a 10-8. So if you give the first round to Jan, you give him 3 rounds, and the last one isn't a 10-8, then I can easily see a 48-47 Jan. I personally scored it 46-48. I had Ankalaev a 10-8 in the fifth and won in 3 rounds.
Well, I had 48-46 Ankalaev. That's what I had as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's totally subjective. The people saying this is a really bad decision, I don't think it actually is. I think on the grand scheme of things, did either guy do enough to absolutely put a definitive exclamation part on it? You won that fight? No. I think Ankalaev did enough over five rounds. Yes, but can I say 100% that I know for sure he did enough to win the fight? Outright?
I think if you look at it as 25, if you don't have to also score it round per round and you look at it as 25 minutes of work, you probably say Ankalaev was a slightly better fighter over 25 minutes. You probably say he deserved to win the fight. There's really no doubt regarding that. But that's not how we score these. We take them round by round. And there's no doubt that, especially the leg kicks in the second and third for Jan were absolutely sensational. You've seen Ankalaev's reaction to them, man. He was fucking... I was actually surprised he got out the third. I thought it was going to get finished in the third by Big Jan. So that was sensational, and it was so good. See, then you went to fourth and fifth, and Ankalaev knew at that point he had to change his game up, and he did that, and he done it brilliantly. Fourth obviously got a takedown, kept him down, didn't do a lot. Fifth, he basically had him down for like fucking within 30 seconds, I think, if I remember correctly, and that was it basically for a full round. And for me, that was 100% a 10-8. So you look at that first round, it's all really on that first round and what you've seen. As yes, I would say probably in the first round, Jan was probably the better with the fists as such. He's probably kept him more of the faith. But I really liked the body kicks for Ankalaev. I thought they were fucking sensational every time he hit him. I think he must have hit him at least half a dozen times right in the fucking breadbasket, as they say, right into that stomach. And I thought they were really, really effective kicks. I really liked them. So that's just what eventually won me that round for Ankalaev.
It's just how you see it, as you say, mate. You can watch it back and you might think, you know,
there wasn't enough damage or duration in that first round to really say that either fighter actually won the round, to be honest. That's probably what you could say.
that's it. But basically, that was my whole point from the start, was the fact that this isn't a robbery. It isn't a terrible decision. You know, if anything, if you actually look at it, right, two of the judges gave Blavich three rounds.
I wouldn't argue. I couldn't argue because the first round is so subjective and it's so 50-50 that I cannot argue in the slightest.
So Ankalaev saying he won the fight, definitely, there's no question about it. But actually, two of the judges thought you didn't, mate. You know what I mean? You had a good 10-8, and this, but one judge, two judges gave you a 10-8, but one of them didn't. So it's took me, it's all very close.
I think the one judge I've kind of got really issue with, Derek Cleary, if I could have an Ankalaev at third. I know Ankalaev's from third, but the damage was so bad for Jan with the legs kicks that I don't understand how you can do that.
Aye. The actual individual round scoring was terrible. So granted, like if you actually break it down, because I think all three judges gave Blažević the first round.
Yes.
So that's not, it's not bad, but it just shows you and I have just said we both gave Ankalaev the first round.
But even because I was watching, and even though the Twitter scorings were giving it to Ankalaev, obviously to bring up the Twitter scorings, you look on, there's an MMA Decisions website as well, a lot of them seem to give the first round to Ankalaev there as well, do you know what I mean? So,
I mean, I look at MMA Decisions, and there's only two people out of the media who had the fight for Blažević. Nobody had it a draw, no. I mean, well, yeah, I suppose... It is what it is. I just don't think...
It wasn't a shocker.
No, it wasn't a shocker. I've seen a lot worse. In fact, we're about to talk about one that's worse. It wasn't a shocker. It was a boring fight, but to be fair, that's exactly the fight I expected. You know what you're getting with Jan. He's big, he's tough, he's strong, he's hard. Ankalaev's boring as sin. We know this.
I think I said to you before the fight that if Jan doesn't win it early, I would expect Ankalaev to go and win it basically on points.
That's so funny, because I actually thought the total opposite. See, when you text me that, I was going, did he mix the names up there? Because I generally thought if it goes five rounds, Jan will basically ground him out like Jan did with Izzy.
But you know what? Ankalaev's got that wrestling game that...
I know, but Jan's got the wrestling game, and Jan for me is a lot bigger in terms of like broadness and, you know, just being a bigger guy. Okay, maybe not height wise, but I thought you genuinely mixed up the names. No. I was like, he means, I know, obviously I know that now, but I just thought, well, he's mixed them up, because I was like, the longer this goes, the more it suits Blažević. If Ankalaev wants to beat Blažević, I would have said first two rounds, maybe even three rounds. But hey, listen, I was wrong. I had Ankalaev winning the fight. A draw is not the worst result. Even if it went to Blažević, first round was so subjective, I wouldn't really have bothered either way.
Well, I would have argued with that just because Jan, for me, was a 10-8 in the fifth round. That would have been my big argument with that. I honestly didn't see Jan winning that fight.
Yeah, but I don't know, but my point is, if it wasn't a 10-8 in the fifth and you had Jan winning three rounds, Jan wins the fight. So just, again, it's whether you think the 10-8 in the fifth round. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's one of these things. It's difficult, mate. It's not a perfect way of doing things. They need to look at it. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But before we move on to that, what's next in this division? Oh, sorry.
Actually, I know what's next in this division.
So this is probably a bigger conversation, right? And this will stem onto the Paddy thing as well. The handling of this by UFC is so shitty. So shitty. It is... And I can't believe you tried to defend this. Not defend it.
I didn't defend it.
No. You said it wasn't that bad. And I'm like, I don't know how you can possibly say it's not that bad. Hold on a minute, right? The event isn't even properly over yet. They haven't done the post-fight interviews. They're still on air. And Hunter Mahan, or whatever his name is, and Mick, and Dana White are all talking about what they do next. Oh, let's make this fight. Let's make Glover Teixeira versus Jamal Hill. What about the two guys who just fought to a draw? Do you not think that should come to a point? One of those two, I mean, no offense to Jamal Hill, right? He's nowhere near that. He's nowhere near a title shot. He's at least a win away from it, right? But then the worst thing of it all is UFC have Anthony Smith on a fucking post-fight analysis panel, and that's how he finds out that his fight with Jamal Hill got dropped live on there because Karen Bryant told him. It was so shitty, mate. So shitty. Why could that not have waited a day? Fucking one day. One day. That's all I ask. It could have waited a day. There was no need for it. It was shocking.
Do you know what I think this was? And I thought, actually, I think this is nothing to do with Anthony Smith, Glover Teixeira, Jamal Hill. Not a day with us. I think this is a bit of a marker that Dana White wants to put down. Because, as we all said, and I think everybody else on the planet would agree, this was a title fight. It was fucking shite.
Yes, I get that and understand what you're saying, right? Dana White wanted to make a point, but it could have waited. It could, but even then, a day, mate.
We're all talking about it now. Sorry, fighters will be talking about it. Everybody's going to be talking about it.
We're talking about people. Dana White being a dickhead.
It's his business, he can do what the fuck he wants.
I know, listen, and at the end of the day, that's all that matters, mate. It is up to him, he can do whatever the fuck he wants, no matter what we fucking Scott for Scotland says about him, he's not going to give one single fuck. My point is, it's always been the same thing, where you and I have always talked about this. The UFC seems to always, it goes so far, and it behaves itself, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it gets shit. It treats people like shit. It just doesn't do things right.
I'm not going to deny it, it was a bit shy in Anthony Smith. The fact that he was even in the studio as well made it even shittier. If he wasn't in the studio, I don't think it's the end of the world, but the fact that they've been able to cut across to him.
It would have been fine if they told him. See, if they told him, even if he's in the studio, they just say, here, Anthony, going to come out and be saying, listen, by the way, this is happening, so that he isn't blindsided by Karen Bryant going, oh, they've just made Glover to Jennifer's Jamal Hill, and he's fuck?
I don't imagine that Dana's deliberately...
No, I don't think he has, mate, but I think you cross your I's and you dot your T's. This is my point. Like, you'd be a bit more professional. Like, I get it, I understand. He maybe didn't know. He's maybe angry. He's went, fuck it, these two guys are never getting near the belt again. I'm making Jamal Hill versus Glover Sherrill. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Here you go, press. There's the leafy. I just want him to be a bit more professional. He never will be. That's just Dana's style, right? But it just irked me, mate, the fact it's that...
It's worked for him for 20 years, isn't it? So.
Well, that's the thing. But it has, mate, and I've got him to a level. I just feel as if... Again, we'll talk about it after we've talked about Paddy, but his whole media, that media thing after is one of the worst I've ever seen. It was bullish, it was aggressive, it was anti-fighter almost. It was like, all he did was slag off Blahovic and Ankalaev, then he slagged off Jared Gordon, then he slagged off the judges, but they deserved it. But I just feel like, if you're Ankalaev, who genuinely thought he won that, you and I thought he won it, he should be the light heavyweight champion, and Dana White just went, fuck you, mate. I get it. It was a boring fight, and people don't want to see it. That's absolutely fine. But why not make Glover versus Ankalaev?
Well, it's sexy.
Because Jan said, I didn't win. Gave to him. So
I think, let's be honest, right? Glover was always going to be in the fight.
Of course. Glover
was going to fight in Brazil and Rio de Janeiro. That's in 6 weeks' time. Chances of getting Ankalaev on that card? Well, slim to fuck all. Chances of getting Jan on that card? Slim to fuck all.
There's also that argument. I understand that.
You've got to look for somebody.
It's frustrating as hell, mate, because I just felt it was just handled badly. It didn't need to be announced. That it could have been announced an hour later after they'd spoken to Anthony Smith.
Imagine Jamal Hill beats Glover Teixeira and Paul Craig sitting there and going, I beat fucking Jamal Hill and I beat Ankalaev and they two should have been the fucking champions. That'd be tremendous, wouldn't it? It's the way Dana's always done things. He's very much for a... He knows what he wants for a fight. He didn't get that on Saturday night. I think a bit of anger was involved in that, no doubt. Obviously, he's promised maybe Glover in the next fight. He's maybe even promised it in fucking Rio. And the fact that these two guys probably wouldn't be ready, but he had to find somebody else straight away. Yes, shit for Anthony Smith, no doubt that. A wee text message, anything. Before Dana went on that confidence stage, just something. Look, Anthony, we're doing this because we've got to. Apologies, big man. You'll maybe be online. We'll get you in a number one contender's fight against Ankalaev sometime later on in the year. But something as simple as that, nothing too mental.
Yeah.
Agreed. It's all a bit shitty, but...
It's shittily handled, mate. That's my point. I understand he was frustrated. I understand the aggression. I get the whole, let's try and sort this out. He obviously felt a bit guilty for Glover as well. I think there was obviously that in the back of his mind. But I just think that whole thing, he didn't need to bash Blahovic and Ankalaev. He's done it before with fighters and he'll continue to do it. In fact, he's done it with Gordon as well, but he doesn't need to do that. He doesn't need to put his fighters down. There's no need for it. And then he could have just held off until somebody gave him the thumbs up and said, right, Anthony's cool, he's on board, we're all good. Literally the only person that didn't know. I mean, I would have been surprised if Jamal Hill even fucking knew. I'd imagine Jamal Hill's manager probably knew, but Jamal didn't.
I don't even think that would have went that far. I think they'd be lucky even with a fucking phone call to Jamal. Yeah. Jamal's not going to turn it down, is he? So...
No. Anyway,
it's something to look forward to. It's something to look forward to. It'll be an interesting fight to have on that card as well. As you said, does Jamal Mahal deserve it? Probably not at this moment in time. He was probably one fight away. Obviously, he was fighting Anthony Smith. If he beat Anthony Smith, maybe then he was ready for it. He's probably getting that shot just one fight early. But the UFC need a... They wanted a title fight. They wanted to stick Glover on the Brazil card and they've got their fight. What would they wanted?
Aye. I see. It's fine. It's just shit. Just shit, shit handled, that's all. Oh, here we go.
Right, Paddy. Right, you want to start or I'll just...
Paddy the Paddy. I probably shouldn't start because you'll...
I've got the toilet and just come back when let me know you're finished.
Right. Let's take all the bullshit away, right? Let's not even go there the new. The fight, 3 rounds, MMA, actually a good fight, back and forward. I thought Jared Gordon looked brilliant. I thought Paddy went back to looking like he did in his first fight where his hands were down and he's wiggling his chin in the air, like going, fucking hit me, fucking hit me. Like, if he comes up against, I can't think of an elite striker in the UFC at lightweight outside the top 15, but I don't know. So I suppose you could say something like Sirukin, or I know they're quite high up, or even a Gamrot. Somebody who's got hands would knock the fucking shit out of him, right? And that's fine. So that's what frustrates me. I thought Jared Gordon looked really, really good. He's a hard nut to crack. That boy, he's kind of good cardio and can take a hit. But Paddy Pimblett didn't win that fight, mate.
No, look, I'm not going to sit here and say Paddy won that fight. I don't think he won the fight. I didn't have him winning the fight. I thought, obviously Jared Gordon won the third. As shitty as a way it was to do it, he won the third through control. Simple as. For me, Paddy didn't win both of the first and second round. There's no chance that happened. I can't remember when Jared Gordon probably definitely won. There was one that I could...
Was it not the first round?
I think it was the first round. Man, it's fucking shocking, isn't it, by the way?
See, when you watch, you know, Hunter's it in the space of like 3 or 4 hours, it condenses, it's hard to remember. But no, I think it was the first round.
So I think it was the first as well. So I didn't have an issue. 2-1 for Jared Gordon was what I had, and the fact that Paddy didn't think that as well. He obviously knew himself lost the third. He didn't have an issue with that, but he never won both of the first rounds. There's no way. And as you say, I've always liked Paddy as well. I like a bit of bravado. He probably went a wee bit too far in the last week. He went a wee bit too far into the Conor McGregor territory instead of just being fucking Paddy Pimblett. And that kind of pissed me off a wee bit. It kind of took a wee bit of shine off Paddy being Paddy for me.
It was even worse than the Conor McGregor stuff, mate. Like, it was him and Uncle Dana bashing somebody who didn't really deserve it in the first place. And it was all very, I don't know, mate, it just wasn't very good. It was, the whole week turned, he almost as if he turned he flicked like a switch, mate. He turned from this up-and-coming guy who Dana's put a lot of into to then basically just, I don't know what happened, mate, I really don't. As I said to you, he's always been mouthy. In my wee notes I sent, he's always been mouthy, and I've never done an issue with that because he's always been respectful but mouthy, a bit cheeky and that, and that's fine. I don't mind a bit of cheek and a bit of bad language. But when you start just, like, I don't know, there was something weird about him sitting. There was something odd about him sitting with Dana and bashing. I don't give a fuck who he was bashing. I'm not a massive aerial fan, right? Put my hands up. Don't know why. Just never really been into it. But I understand he's one of the industry leaders and journalism and MMA and content creator, whatever you want to call them. And they basically just both sat and laughed at him. And at a point, it was nasty, but it was just fucking awkward as fuck to watch, mate. It was really, really almost sad.
I was
watch just these two grown ass men, you know what I mean, slagging off another man for no reason.
Yeah, it was horrible for that point of view. And then it just seemed to get worse as the weekend go on, and total just disregard for things and.
Disregard
for everybody. It was just the whole week for me with Paddy was really weird, and it really did take a lot off it for me. And the fact that he couldn't see that maybe that he did lose one of the first two rounds as well, and just going forward, I think we've always said it's the first time we've seen Paddy Pimblett, he's brilliant to watch. We love watching him. We really liked him for what he was at that moment in time. but we didn't think he was going to be UFC champion, and I still don't think that. There's still too many holes in that game. As you said, if you put him in there against a top 15 guy who's striking is sensational, like top level. But there's even some guys, I was looking a quick look at rankings outside top 15 there, having a summer good look at some of them. And I'm like, ah, they've got to take a seed or something. Like a Brad Riddell, who's not in the top 15, but just outside, would fucking have him.
Yep.
He would honestly take his head off. And that chin needs to get tucked in. And I just don't think he's good enough. Look, he's still, what's it, 28, 29? No, he's not even 27. So, look, he's still probably got 5, 6, 7, 8 years at the top level if he can keep improving. But they can't take this hype train any quicker, any faster now, because he's got too many holes in his game that need fucking sorted out fucking rapidly if he's going to become what he says he wants to be, which is UFC champion. And on that performance on Saturday, it's never happening.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think even more than that, like, it goes back to what you said about like he's changed and he's turned. That he needs to come back. He needs to come back to being cheeky but being acceptable. Like
he was just horrible at times. What would
he even? But you noticed this crowd during his interview after the thing. He made jokes. Nobody laughed. The crowd didn't really seem up for it after the fact he won. During his interview, he forced things, and he scoffed when Joe Rogan said, "What do you mean, Jenga? I won the fight? Of course I won the fight. I won 2 rounds. I took the third round off." It was just all very odd. I hope he can distance himself from Dana, but he'll never be able to, because that's Dana's boy. You know, Dana's put all his effort into him. I think Dana's backed the right horse in terms of markability, but not in terms of ability. He'll not make it. I don't think he'll make it top 10. Maybe make it top 10, maybe just. But listen, if he can fix all...
With the right run of fighters and the right type of fighter against him.
If he can fix the holes in the game, and maybe even swap gym for a bit and try something different. I don't know, just do something different. But the whole thing with him and Dana, I know I'm getting back to it, right? But like, this is something I really want to mention, because this really irked me, right? So Dana in the post-fight interview said that Jared Gordon's game plan in the third round was embarrassing and bullshit and shite and whatever he called it, because he held him up against the cage to win, right? So basically taking the round off. Meanwhile, in the fucking octagon, during his speech, Paddy Pimblett basically said, "I knew I was up 2 rounds, so I took the third round off." So the main man saying that Jared Gordon's a fucking idiot for doing exactly the same thing that Paddy's just basically said he'd done. It's all fucking, again, shittily handled, mate. Shittily handled. Dana White bashed Jared Gordon for no reason. Absolutely no reason. No reason. Jared Gordon did what he thought he had to do to win that fight. He controlled Paddy in the third round to win the third round and should have won the fight for me. And Dana's saying it's embarrassing. And it was disgraceful, or whatever he said it was. It's fucking terrible, mate.
Yeah, that was shite. Like, you shouldn't be saying shit like that. This fighter's under your care and control, really. Let's be honest, he's your fighter. It doesn't matter who's
fighting. Your employer's got a duty of care to you, whether it's contractual or what. There's got to be... my Jared Gordon, I tell the UFC to fuck off, man. I'd have nothing to do with him, because you're getting treated like that by the main man of the company, mate. It's terrible.
No, I would agree. The only thing that thingies me with the third was it annoyed me as well, is I thought that it should have been broken up earlier. I thought it went too long. I think that would have helped matters. I think if Herb had stepped in a wee bit sharper and got them split up and got them separated, maybe with a better fight. I think Herb let us all down a wee bit within that regards when it comes to the third round. And maybe then we could have actually got... Look, Jared Gordon won the third because of control. We all say it. We all know exactly what we watched. But maybe Paddy would have won that third. And then, to be honest, if Paddy came out and done something in that third and actually won the round and he won the fight, I would have gone, well, the second, he was about 50-50. Maybe could have won it. He maybe didn't win it. And I wouldn't have had too much of an argument with Paddy winning the fight in the end. But the third round, he said himself, he took the round off. So part of the loss that he did get, but he didn't get, was also his fault by not doing anything in the third round. Do you know what I mean? So all the negative comments are also Paddy's fault as well.
Oh, listen, I've no doubt, but it's just, all of it's just, it's just so...
It's
so
a whole fucked up scenario, that fight. That you always feel that UFC, as much as you get bad decisions, you never feel like a decision's, I don't want to use this word, I'm not even going to use the word, put in a certain way, or the result's a certain way that it shouldn't be. And this is probably the first fight I've seen for a long time. I went, oh, why the fuck did that go that way? Is it because it's Paddy Pimlet?
Yeah. I mean, one of the judges gave Pimlet that third round.
Again, makes absolutely no sense. A bit like, was it O'Cleary as well? Was that no?
No, it was Chris Lee.
Oh, so it was, aye. Yeah, so I don't understand that either. So, aye. It's extremely frustrating, my man. Very, very frustrating fight. Everything about it, everything from start to start, is so frustrating.
The controversy with the judge, I think, was Douglas Crosby. He was the guy that scored Sabatello winning all five rounds
against Watson Stotts.
I still haven't watched that. I need to go back and watch that.
I need to watch that as well because it was
it's that far the other way that it doesn't make sense. So it needs to be looked at. But I think the be all and end all is the judging has to be better. I seen a video on Instagram and it was half screen. And it was half Joe Rogan and half Dana White when the announcement get made that Paddy won. And you see Joe Rogan go, like, the fuck,
I seen Joe Rogan's reaction was a bit like, what the fuck?
Have you seen Dana White's?
No.
Holy shit, man. It's like a nod, like a wink and a nod, almost as if he just kind of goes like that, as if he knew, which is shit. Really shit. If that's the case, it comes across.
I always felt like Jared Gordon was a height of nothing then, didn't it?
Yeah. Listen, let's hope Paddy takes a step back, tries to distance himself from Dana, hopefully, and maybe puts himself back in the right frame of mind. Like, after London, mate, he was great. After the first one at London, you know, the one we were at in March last year, this year, it was insane, mate. Even I was a massive Paddy fan, and I've never been a massive Paddy fan. I've never disliked the boy, but I've never been a massive, like, oh my God, I'm so into Paddy. But even I was like, nah, fuck it, man, this is class. But just left. This whole weekend's left up your bitter taste, man. It's weird how you can go for absolutely buzzing watching UFC to just be feeling the shape. Because see, up to that point, we're going to move on and talk about a couple of things. Like, special mentions for Billy Q, brilliant performance. Chris Curtis didn't do very much and then fucking took Buckley's head off. Shabazzian, wasn't that convinced. Rosenstreich doing fucking Rosenstreich things. You know, so the card was good. I was buzzing and then it just went so flat because of that, because of, no, just Paddy. Because I don't think it's Paddy's fault. None of it's Paddy's fault. I mean, Paddy being a wee twat, it's Paddy's fault, but the result isn't his fault. And then obviously Jan was flat as well. But, yeah, man. Disappointing.
Yep. 100%, my man.
Shall we talk about Big Dazza?
Yeah, I think we've got to talk about the second loudest man in Liverpool now, aren't we? I was actually worried in that first round. That first round, I was like, that was finished. He's fucking Cage Warriors bound or something here. This is fucking horrendous.
He had nothing. He looked, do you know what it looked like? It looked like, I mean, I'm not saying Dricus du Plessis was fucking brilliant, right? I like Dricus. He's hard, he's big, he's strong, he's a big barrier boy, right? But in terms of technical, not so convinced. He's good, got a good ground game, but it looked like, you know, like a shitty MMA movie where they've got, you know where I'm going with this?
I think so.
Like, Darren Till didn't look like an MMA fighter. And that's so weird because he's extremely talented, like insanely talented. We all know how talented Darren Till is, or used to be. He just didn't. He looked like they'd went, right, who's fighting Dricus? Yeah, mate, you want a shot at doing this sport? And look at what it looked like. And then saying to the ref, saying, you know, oh, I'm fine, I'm good. That doesn't work, mate. You need to get yourself out of these positions. I think he's very lucky that it never gets stopped. Because just telling the ref, I am fine, isn't intelligently defending yourself.
Well, it didn't look as though he knew what to do, which just sounds ridiculous for a man with quite a lot of fights, a lot of experience fighting at a high level, fighting in a lot of gyms with some extremely high-level wrestlers and grapplers, and he just looked lost. He didn't know what to do in that first round, and it was so worrying, to be honest. It really was worrying. He didn't have a clue what to do in that first round.
I think it would be hard having a 200-pound South African monster holding you against the cage and having your arm trapped and not knowing what to do, I think, in that moment. But then look as if he was trying something. That's the thing. Being able to try something and not knowing what to do.
It looks like he ran out of ideas. He didn't know what to do. It's not easy to see a football team at the end of a game and it's just fucking peering away and it's one out of our team and they just run out of ideas. That's exactly what it played to me.
It was strange. Second round looked a bit better, but because it seemed like Drickus took his foot off the gas a wee bit, maybe just recharge a bit, knowing that maybe the third round was coming. And then third round came and Drickus smashed him.
Yeah, got him down quite easily in the end and just fucking had him, mate. And also, it looks like Dan Till, the way he was talking, he thinks he's done his ECL and his other knee, I think, this time.
I heard that. I heard he says we're walking out. He said he felt it. It's so disappointing, mate, because again, Darren Till's one of these guys. I've never been a massive fan, but he's entertaining. He's good to watch, and he is a good fighter. He earned a title shot. Do you know what I mean? He earned a title shot against Woodley way back when, and he earned it fair and square. It's just disappointing. Matt, one thing is, how can your grappling and your defence be worse after training with Khamzat?
Well, that's kind of what I was saying now, where I said about obviously going to different gyms and stuff like that and learning off these high-level guys. How's that defence not improved? Like, it was always a weakness of his game, no doubt about that. He's a kickboxer, he's Muay Thai, that's his style. So just like any other Muay Thai kickboxer, that as well will be a weakness because it's not generally something they've done their whole life.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be a weakness no matter what. You can improve on it, but you're never going to be a natural athlete like a lot of these wrestlers are. And but it's still so not bad. Bad's a bad word. Bad's not the right word, but it's still so poor. That was so surprised at how easy the takedowns came for Drickus. And Drickus, for me, he's not a... I wouldn't look at him and go, all right, you're a takedown artist. You're going to take down people left, fucking right and centre. He's not. I would say he's more a brawler. He still wants to... He just wants to go out there and take your head off 9 times out of 10.
I think he kind of strikes me as one of these guys that no matter where it goes, he'll have enough skills to do, like, and cause some problems. Like I think he's grappling, he's wrestling's definitely better than he's striking, but I think he's got enough everywhere to stand with most. I mean, if he comes up against an elite level striker, Izzy might pick him up, if he ever fought, I might pick him off from distance, but I think he's got enough about him to be able to fight most people in that division, mate. He's hard, he's solid, he's big. I just love South Africans, mate. It's like it's up there with Norwegians and Swedes for me. It's like the third on my list of like people.
I sound really bad, but see when he starts talking, I just go straight to fucking Lethal Weapon when it's South Africans. And that's shocking. That's terrible. But I can't help myself.
That's shocking. Yeah. I was impressed by Drickus, to be honest. How disappointed I was for Darren. Pleased for Drickus. Impressed by Drickus. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, that's him undefeated in the UFC.
As you say, but how far can we really go? We need to wait and see.
What's next for Darren then? Like, I mean, we've said, like, well, a lot of times when it comes to fighters, like, we say, oh, maybe they should change gym, but he did that and he went to one of the best gyms you could go to in Europe, if not the best gym you could go to in Europe. You know, there'll be some arguments for it. What does he do? Like,
obviously, he's gonna have a significant amount of time out. That's the first thing. As you see, Alex, for a while before he's even back fucking walking again, never mind walking properly, do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
We need to wait and see. I really don't know, mate. I don't know what's next. He's 29, he's still a young man in fucking fighting terms. You look at Jan at the weekend, he's fucking 39, do you know what I mean? Darren Till could have been 10 years at this sport.
I did read something that he said he wanted to go and reset, and I think that's the perfect idea. Take a year and a half. Just, I know he's maybe done it before. I mean, he hasn't fought since, you know, September 09, and before that, he hadn't fought since July 20. Do you know what I mean? He hasn't really been massively active since 2019. He's only fought 3 times since July 2020, so he's not been that active. But go and find what you love, and if you don't love fighting anymore, then do something else. Like, it's almost like it needs to be a love. Like, somebody posted a video of him in 2018 basically saying, I don't care about my family, I don't care about my new kid, I don't care, I've not seen my lassie in Brazil, I don't care, all I care about is the fighting. Whereas now before this he says, I miss my family. So he's obviously grown up, he's changed. So you find what's important to you, and if the fighting isn't anywhere near the top of that list, don't put yourself through it, because you're risking your life. Well, you're risking your health at the end of the day for something you don't particularly enjoy doing. If you'd much rather go and spend the time with your family and, you know, create memories and do something else, don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Sounds maybe a bit madness, but I think maybe I was thinking maybe I needed a couple of fights outside of the UFC somehow, yeah. If that's a possibility, if there's some way of...
Well, I mean, somebody as talented as him, he comes to Cage Warriors, wins three fights, wins that belt.
Well, I think that's... too low a level.
I know. I'm just saying that level. He could do LFA. Do you know what I mean? America, I don't know. That's probably a lesser level than Cage Warriors. I'm not really sure of the level.
Probably do PFL. I don't think the middleweight division in PFL's deep. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? He could go away for a year, earn a few quid, get his family up for life, and then maybe in a year's time. I'd imagine Dana's always got a bit like Paddy. He's going to have that relationship with Darren Till that. Because he was one of these up-and-coming guys. He was the next Conor McGregor at one point. Do you know what I mean? That kind of style of guy.
Yeah,
I always had that thingy. So if there's any doubt, maybe possibly, that he could go away and fight somewhere else for a few fights, and then Uncle Dana would come back and go, here you go, Darren, he's a wee tempter, come back to the UFC. I'm sure he'd do it, no problem. Because he's 29. Three fights, take a year out, maybe come back when he's 31, 32 at UFC, still got 5-6 years ahead of him. Yeah. And at middleweight, you don't need to worry too much about your age at middleweight, do you know what I mean? It's not like these younger guys. I think in the lighter divisions, the younger you are, probably the better you are. Do you know what I mean? So I wouldn't do any harm, but it will be interesting to see what happens next for Darren Till.
Yes, it will. Need to keep our eyes open, mate, because as we like Darren Till, just hopefully he gets himself sorted and decides if he wants to keep fighting and where he wants to keep fighting. We'll see. We're kind of running out of time.
Will you talk about this as the performance of the evening?
Yes, this is a proper up-and-coming talent that we've known about for a while, to be fair.
I remember when Cage Warriors, we had one or two fights in Cage Warriors a long time ago.
Well, I think he'd won.
Did he win a title or something? But
no, I did. He won the bantamweight championship with an anaconda choke 1 minute and 40 seconds into a fight. It was something special. Mate, that was 4 years ago. That was before we started the pod.
Just?
By 3 months. This boy's legit. He can strike. He can grapple. Genuinely terrifying.
Mate, he's a superstar in the making, I think. I really
absolute
do.
Animal.
He's got everything. The strength, the wrestling, the jiu-jitsu. Bryce Mitchell, we know what Bryce Mitchell is. He just wants to take you down. See, as soon as he stopped that first fucking takedown, I was like, here we go. Vitor Puri is about to put a fucking show on. And to be honest, the rest of it was basically a fucking show. I know towards the end of the first round, Bryce did eventually get a wee takedown, but I think at that point, Tapuri, I thought, oh, this is too easy. And maybe got a wee bit kind of relaxed in his defence at that point. But the rest of the performance, mate, he was sensational. It was so good. The striking down the middle, he was hitting Bryce Mitchell every fucking time. And to go and get that fucking submission as well was just... I think Bryce knew straight away. I don't even think it was in very long. As soon as it was in, Bryce just went, oh, fuck, I'm not getting out of this. I might as well just tap right now. It was just, mate, this guy is a contender, a serious contender. I want to see him tighten a top five, top six guy next. He's up there with Arnold Allens and stuff like that, the Evloevs. He is one of those.
Only one issue I've got, right, is his size. He's only 5'7". Now, I think for a featherweight nowadays, that's a wee bit small. I mean, Bryce Mitchell's 5'10".
Champion.
I know. But he's built like shit. He's built
a player.
I don't know. We'll see. I think he's brilliant. He's talented. I'd love to actually see him step up and knock Paddy's face in. That'd be great.
That fight will never ever happen if Dana knows what's good for him.
Nah. even though everybody wants to happen, and Paddy wants it to happen, and Ilya wants it to happen because Ilya wants his hands on him and stuff like that. But no, yeah, I was proper impressed by him, mate. Super performance. Yeah, can't he fault
it. Loved his call out, by the way, Brian Ortega in fucking Spain.
When's UFC going to Spain?
Well, I think it's just he wants to go to Madrid. He's desperate to get them to go to Madrid. I don't know.
That's a must, by the way. That's a trip.
That'd be a tremendous trip. He's desperate to get him over to Spain. I don't know if he'll get him next this year, but I think he'll definitely get over there. But I like the Brian Ortega show. I thought that was brilliant. You've got to jump well ahead of fucking Bryce Mitchell. He probably jumped ahead of Chikadze for me in the rankings as well. So.
I agree. I mean, he's going to jump to what was your man ninth, wasn't he? Bryce Mitchell, he was ninth, so he's going to jump to that anyway. I was proper impressed, mate. As he's got everything, all the everything there. Cool. Happy with that. Right, let's do a little look forward to the weekend. Just a quick kind of run through of anything that sticks out. You can go first, my man. Give me something.
I am going to go with Arman Tsarukyan versus Ismagulov. Will be the fight of the night. It will be sensational. I think this is going to be two sensational fighters putting on some sensational performances. I just think it's going to be class, mate. It's two kind of younger guys within that lightweight division, and it's just, it's an absolute belter, I think. Absolute fucking belter.
I think Sarukin's got a point to prove after losing to Gamrot last time out.
Losing in brackets or losing in quotations, yeah, or you want to call.
Well, we both scored it for him, but yeah, it's still a loss, mate. As you say, it's still a loss. So I actually think Albazi versus Costa could be fight of the night. I think that's potentially going to be insane. I mean, 27 wins between them is fucking mental. I love Albazi. I think Albazi, he's a great fighter, so I think that'll be a class fight. Costa making his proper debut. He fought Nikita, the contender, but he's making his debut. I mean, 12-2 at 26-year-old. Jesus Christ. I don't think Albazi's that young. Albazi's 29, 51. That's an insane fight, man. Absolutely insane. There's loads of stuff on this, by the way. Even Caceres Arosa, a couple of legends kind of going at it. Shean Vlismas, who is ex-Shean Baez.
Yeah, I think Corey McKenna.
Corey McKenna, that's a big step up, I think, for Corey McKenna. I've always liked Shean. She's a good fighter, so I think that's quite a good fight. Matthews, was he not on a bit of a run, Jake Matthews, for a bit there?
He had a feud, but then he didn't lose a couple. And then he came back with a win, I think, last time against I.
They had three, and then he got beat by Sean Brady. Yeah, that's right. So that'll be a good fight against Matt the Semi, or Jedi. Is it Semi Jedi he's called? Semi the Jedi. I have some good stuff on him, man.
I think the first fight in the cards are fucking belter. And also versus Newson as well. That's a great fight to start for me. I wouldn't mind missing that on the fight pass.
I was going to say the second fight, that flyweight fight.
Cap's an absolute belter, mate.
Oh, insane, man. Insane.
For the last card of the year, it's a very, very good card. I don't think it's not one for the casuals, shall we say, but if you know your MMA and you know your fighters, there's some absolute belters on it.
Do you know Albazi was supposed to fight Brandon Royval and then Alex Perez, and both of those fights got taken off?
No, there's a man that doesn't give a fuck who he's fighting, they'll take them out.
Nah, just fucking line them up, just smash them down.
I'll have them, son.
Don't fault it. Hey, are you?
No, you mentioned the main event. Is it not worth that? I take it.
Oh, fuck, I totally patched that. Fuck me. I didn't mean it, you know.
I don't really know what it means. I don't see the point in it. It's just as if two middleweights out there that are just kind of, oh, you've not got a fight. Oh, I've not got a fight. Let's fight. Smashing.
It's an interesting fight. It could be quite a good fight. It could be quite fun if Sean's just going to stand there and try and smash Cannonier in the face.
Well, that's what it's one of those ones. I think it's kind of volume over power type thing. There's got to be a lot of strikes with Sean Strickland, as he usually does. He likes to fire his jab and stuff out there. Maybe the odd kick here and there. But Big Jared's just got to be fucking swinging haymakers at times, isn't he? So,
arms like tanks. So, yeah.
It's got to be an interesting fight. Again, I won for either guy. Means fuck all in my opinion, but it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting. That'll be a decent fight, I think. A good way to finish the year. I'm quite happy.
Nice one. I can't believe it was the last. I know, obviously, you know, the next Saturday is Christmas Eve, and the Saturday after that, you know, you can't really fit them in. This kind of has to be the last one, but it feels weird that the last one's so early.
19th, that's still 18th, what about 17th, what is it? Aye, well, I was obviously last week. That is probably a wee bit early, because you're probably looking usually maybe at 20, 20, 21st, something like that, maybe, try and get a few days before Christmas, so... I think there is fights the following weekend, I think. I don't know. It's obviously Cage Warriors just before New Year, isn't it? And so is Bellator versus Rising as well. So.
Cool.
That's a sensational poster, by the way. I've just noticed that.
It's a really good poster. Good colours in that. Nice and bright. Like it.
That's class. Anyway.
Hey. Thanks.
You're welcome.
And I noticed that 156 episodes, I thank our listeners, but I never thank you. Pretty shit.
I'm not expecting any thanks, am I?
Thank you as always for listening, guys. We do appreciate it. I know things have been a bit sporadic recently, but life's just mental everywhere at the moment. Things are just in the way, but we'll keep them coming as they come. Not going to promise every week, because there's just no point. So you'll get an episode when you get one. Hope you enjoy it. Get us on the socials, Inside Cage MMA, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And I was going to say have a nice Christmas, but we might do one next week. Yeah, fuck it. If we don't, you don't get Christmas wishes. Tough shit. Have a good week. We'll catch you next time.